Tonight, we'll preview the hilarious Cat Video Festival coming up this weekend. Our chief geek officer, Elliot Serrano, rides sidecar, and we'll enjoy some amazing treats from Insomnia Cookies. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Hello, Friday. Oh, we're so happy that you're here. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It is September 30th, the very last day. Is it kind of sad, Elliot Serrano, if I say it's the very, very last day of September? Does it feel like something's ending? Like, more so than the autumnal equinox happening?
Okay, so last night,
yes,
when I was here,
mm-hmm,
you saw me lamenting how I'm not ready to let go of summer,
right?
And that fall is here, and that I need that at least that hour to get back.
Oh, you want to do the fall back?
So
that's
okay,
which is not happening until November 5th. I hate to be the one to break that news.
So yeah, so the September's gone.
Gone.
Oh, but
not yet. We have 49 minutes.
But there's one thing, and I will say this: ironically, October is my favorite month of the year.
Me too. It smells good. It feels good. It's all like spices in the air. And then there's hauntings and there's the leaves, the sound,
yes,
of rustling leaves.
All that. Yes.
Yes.
All that.
But
yes.
There's something else that you like about
Halloween
it.
Candy.
Halloween candy.
Halloween. Halloween's the greatest holiday of the year. It's better than all the others.
I have to agree. We have to go do some haunted houses.
Oh, yeah.
I think that we should go do some of that.
The haunted houses. We got to do the one where we shoot zombies.
I don't know if that's going to be open before Halloween.
No, we'll just go into one with our own, you
with
know,
like
gun.
Like air guns?
You know, the air guns.
Yeah, that sounds, sounds like a recipe for disaster. That seems like a reason to get hurt.
Let's just not bring Daphne along.
To explain what we're talking about, Elliot Serrano and I and a lot of our friends from the Pretty Late Show, Dr. Daphne Scott, Dr. Charles Turk. We went to I can't remember what it's called, like the 13th floor, folks.
13, yes.
They it's just like a haunted house where it's sort of, the zombies coming at you, only in this situation.
It's a haunted village, though. It's like you're going,
yes,
through all these buildings and hallways, and you go through graveyards,
yes,
and stuff, and the zombies are coming after you.
And they have laser sensors on them, so you can shoot them with laser rifles.
Right. And then when you hit them, they die.
Yes.
But then they don't really die.
No.
Because
you have to like get them in the right. You have to get the right headshot or the neck shot.
Right. And then I learned that many of the zombies cheat. They're like, wait, you're supposed to be dead.
I like that one room where there was a staircase. Mm. It was very elaborate, this haunted house.
Yeah.
And we were like, do we go up the stairs? And the zombie's like coming up, like staggering, and then pointing.
Pointing in the direction we're supposed to go. I thought that was quite helpful.
It was very, yes, charming. It was a charming zombie.
Yes.
But I like that because haunted houses are generally, you're walking through a room and you feel like, what's going to happen?
What's
going to happen?
Come at me, right.
But when you are equipped with this rifle, you have a purpose for entering every room, which is to take down the zombies.
Which it's still scary, though, because,
yes,
they jump at you, mm-hmm, and all those things. Although, to me, I've always my problem with haunted houses and some of the haunted houses that are out there, especially when they're put on by, teenagers and stuff. They,
yes,
a lot of the kids, they get the ones who are like haunting it, they get too into it.
Yes.
And then sometimes they grab you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't grab
me.
Mm-mm. Don't, because, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm gonna punch you. I'm like, I've clocked a few folks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they get mad at you afterwards. I'm like, well, I've been traumatized in haunted houses. That there's a reason why my elbow went into your jaw.
See, that's why you like the air rifle.
That made boom, boom. And then never came so close. I was gonna hit them with the butt of the rifle.
Oh gosh, I'm so glad that never happened. Why was Elliot arrested at the zombie haunted house?
Assault.
Funny story.
Yeah.
Funny story.
Really funny.
My weirdest moment at a haunted house was years ago. I was going through, it was really cool. It had like ramps and all the actors were very elaborately done up in makeup and like their skin peeling off. And there was one person like shuffling toward me and they had like, there was sort of a hooded, cloaked figure and they were kind of short and then they were kind of just sort of staggering toward me. And then I hear this voice go, Patty Vasquez. And it was an actress that I had worked at. I had gone to school with at UIC, and it freaked the bejesus out of me.
It's like a nightmare where the ghost knows your name.
Yes, I was like, what is happening? I'm looking forward to Fright Fest too. Oh, you have to come with us to Fright Fest sometime.
I have actually. I have a friend who works for Great America, and she keeps saying, "Come to Fright Fest." Come
okay,
to Fright Fest.
Let's do. I don't know if we can do tomorrow. Maybe next weekend.
Yeah,
let's
sure.
do next weekend because what's great about Great America is that they in the daytime it's family friendly, mm-hmm. and they have a haunted trail that's not haunted. It's just all the characters of Great America, like Sylvester the Cat mm-hmm. and Bugs Bunny. They have costumes on. Last year, Bugs Bunny had like a vampire cape on. Oh. And so it's really sweet. And the
Wile
E.
Coyote doesn't have rabies. He's not like rabid.
No. And they have a trail where the kids can go trick-or-treating.
Aww.
And I think Griffin might be right at the cutoff where he might have passed it. I'm not sure.
Trick-or-treating?
For the he's 13.
What? So, 13-year-olds don't? Okay, I will say this.
Yes.
And I'm being a homeowner and always buying candy for Halloween, I will give candy to anybody. You just need to have a costume. And then the teenagers come around. There's some teenagers who still get into it, mm-hmm. and they come in costume, and there are others that don't. You can't come to my house dressed as surly hooded teenager.
Yes, they have to. If they have a costume, even if it's the adults, but we dress up the whole, my family.
Yeah.
But I don't know. When we come back, let's talk a little more about this because I tend to really do it up at Halloween, as you can imagine. I have a wide variety of ways. I actually have a pacing of how the night progresses and how I address the trick-or-treaters throughout the night. More with our guest, Elliot Serrano. Tell us some of your favorite trick-or-treating stories. I know it's not yet October. Am I pushing it too? Is it too soon?
This is therapy for me. I'm letting go of September. I need this therapy.
You're embracing Halloween in
embracing
October.
October.
Okay. 312-981-7200. Do you have any special celebrations for Halloween or traditions that you do for trick-or-treaters? More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue in the historic Tribune Tower. Joining me is Elliot Serrano, our Chief Geek Officer. And we have decided to say goodbye to September by embracing October. And one of our favorite things happens to be Halloween. And we've asked, what are some of your traditions when it comes to Halloween? I want to tell you in a little bit about how my tradition for handling trick-or-treaters. And Griffin and I have developed this over the years together, by the way. So I think it's a family thing. Trish, what are some of the things that you do for Halloween? Hey, Trish?
Yes.
Hi, what do you do for Halloween? Or what did you do?
Mm-hmm. Well, I work for an airline, so we decided one year to take our kids to Disney World for Halloween for the trading because the weather's always so crappy up here.
Right.
So it became a tradition. We go every year and a half. We never had to pay for plane tickets, so that wasn't an issue. So we scraped together all our money so that we could take our kids to Disney World, and they would trick-or-treat. They have, like, a special Halloween party after the park closes, and you have to buy tickets to the party. And you trick-or-treat. You dress up in your costume. Excuse Ooh. Me. And you trick-or-treat through the park, and they have a parade instead of having like the regular electrical parade or whatever it's
right
called, they have a parade of villains.
Ooh.
So the Big Bad Wolf, Cruella de Vil, every villain from the Disney movies,
right? The Wicked Witches and the evil queens. Oh, that's wonderful.
They start the parade off with the Headless Horseman.
That's perfect.
Riding through Main Street with a pumpkin on his hand, and he's got no head, obviously. But it's so cool, and it was just—it's become a tradition. And my kids are 26 and 24, and they keep asking me, "When are we going to go back for Halloween?"
And you're like, "Well, you can scrape together some money. We can all go. When are you going to pay for mom?" I think that's great, and you should go again. If they're asking, how wonderful is that? They still want to go to Disney World with mom.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
That's very sweet. Oh, I love that tradition. I think a lot of people are jealous right now. Elliot?
And we would always do themed costumes. Like every year we would dress as Disney characters. One year we dressed as Toy Story characters.
Did you fly as your in your costumes?
No, we didn't.
Oh,
it's so like a day or two before Halloween.
Oh.
And like I, my husband and I were Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. My one son was a Green Army Man. My daughter was Jessie. And then my other daughter was Bo Peep.
So sweet.
And my other son was the dinosaur.
That's very cool. Well, I think that you started a lovely tradition for your family, and it sounds like they are still all in for that. Trish, have a great night. Thank you. Happy Halloween.
Thank you. A
month early. Thanks. Let's see what Dave has done for Halloween. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm good, Teddy. How are you?
Very well. What's your Halloween tradition?
Well, first of all, I agree. Halloween is absolutely the best time of the year. You know, where I grew up, they used to have Beggar's Night. You know, that you can go out the day before and collect candy.
I didn't know that.
And I grew up in Glenview. So my brother and I would go out, you know, Beggar's Night, Halloween, and then we'd just go out the day after. And people are like, Halloween was yesterday. We'd go, yeah, whatever. Put your bag out there because people had extra candy. We'd have 6 shopping bags full of candy.
Wow.
So, you know, it'd take us forever to finish them. But
that's
so
impressive.
From that, I have a great thing that I always do. Every year, you know, I got a little fog machine I invested in, and I put it in the bush, and it makes a nice mist across my lawn. And
yes.
I put up, you know, little gravestones and skeletons and things. And I have a spooky music soundtrack CD that I blast from my upper level of my house.
Does your CD have like the, you know, the dragging chains and the organ music and this like screaming souls? See, you and I are on the same page, Dave.
It does, and I feel so bad because these little cute kids in a dress and stuff, they come up and they're almost afraid to come up when I answer the door dressed up as Jason.
Okay. See, Dave, so here's what I do, okay, because obviously my kids were very little well, first of all, I have a child who has special needs, and the first day I realized that I couldn't do Halloween the way I used to was I went to his preschool all dressed up as a ghostly bride, and I had it where it looked like I clawed my way out of the coffin, you know, so I had like leaves and like, you know, it was completely just a gross, hideous bride who had clawed out of her. She'd been buried in her wedding dress. I had this whole story. Sure. And Declan didn't care, but I went to go take him to preschool. And this is a school with children with varying abilities. And they were screaming and falling over and crying. And I was like, I am the worst special needs mom ever. So since then, I only dress up as like Snow White and Batgirl and Wonder Woman and things like that. But at home, what we do is we start out while it's still daylight hours, Dave, and we do a very friendly trick-or-treating. Griffin actually he changes his outfit. For the little kids who come early, he dresses up as Thomas the Tank Engine. And
nice.
Yes, and I'm usually like a Snow White or a Disney character. And then when it gets to be about dusk, Griffin moves into a Robin, and I do Batgirl. And then as it gets darker, that's when we do the fog machine, the black lights, the chains, and then I do very scary, ghoulish outfit. But I had a teenager who did not have a costume, by the way, Elliot, and I saw her coming up the stairs, and I'm like, I'm going to get her. And I just came out of the darkness with like the black light on my white wig and everything, and she nearly fell down the stairs backwards. So I try to be very careful.
See, that's how you get punched.
I know.
Do you remember back in the day? Because I can remember always that you know, you go out during the day, you know, you trick or treat, you come home for dinner. It was always some kind of thing like a soup or something real nice because it was usually chilly. And they would have that It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown was always on that.
Yes,
night.
We record
and
that,
then,
yeah.
You know, you watch that, and then bam, you're back out again and come home with some crazy hour of the night.
And my dad would eat all of the Baby Ruth bars. Have a great night, Dave. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Happy Halloween. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And joining me is Elliot Serrano. Hi, Elliot. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I mean, sitting here reminiscing about Halloween days past and all these other things. It's a beautiful night out.
It is a beautiful night out.
People are just walking by the studio.
It seems like a very orderly... Is it me, or does it seem like a very orderly Friday night for downtown Chicago?
It's kind of weird.
Is that a weird way to describe the city tonight?
No, because normally things... I don't want to say chaotic, but it seems like I remember last week. A lot of folks were walking by. They were like big groups of people. Remember the foreign groups that were walking by? And now it's like, oh, everyone's so nice and
it's kind of chill. Is it because it's chill out?
Maybe it's maybe everybody is like really zen about the change of the season and things going on.
You know what? Funny you should say zen, because I'm trying to be zen about the fact that the Chicago Tribune made their endorsement today. Do you see how I made a transition there?
Yeah.
Do you like my transition? I was listening to one of the editorial board has decided to endorse Gary Johnson for president of the United States.
I'm sure
is their
that?
Choice? Is that who it is? Oh, that? I'm having an Aleppo moment.
I forgot who he is. Who is that guy? What is he running for? What country?
The editor went through and made a very specific argument as to why they made their decision. And they also, in the piece that they wrote for the Chicago Tribune, went through and said that, yes, Hillary Clinton, while qualified for various reasons, they could not endorse her. And they felt that Gary Johnson was someone who was, how do they describe him? As someone who was,
I'm forgetting everything about Gary Johnson right now.
I was just thinking that perhaps, what do you think would have been a better choice to, in that situation, if they could not pick either Donald Trump or, because here's really the truth of the matter. One of them is going to be president of the United States.
Yes.
Right. So endorsing Gary Johnson, for those who are not quite sure, you know, and I know this could go either way with pulling votes away. There, last poll I saw, 20% of voters who are registered still don't know who they want to vote for.
Which also makes no sense to me, but, you know, I guess fine.
Well, you know, people feel very strongly. Look, these are two candidates that are the most hated candidates in the history of elections. They are roundly disliked.
Welcome to the politics within the social media age now.
It's wild. Well, but I think that they both have lived in the media eye, though, well before social media. They both have been able to create personas that, I mean, because...
Or had personas created for them.
Yes, and I think they had a lot. I mean, yes, I agree with that. Yeah. By the way, I know that we limit... And perhaps we should wait till Rob Martier comes down for whiskey and a cookie. So maybe, am I doing this? You know, maybe we'll hold off until then.
I was just going to say the Tribune editorial board describes Johnson and running mate William Weld as agile, practical, and experienced.
And forgetful.
Agile, practical, and experienced.
But one of the things that Gary Johnson wants to do is eliminate the Department of Education. I believe he wants to eliminate any foreign relations, because that's why he doesn't know who anybody
is. Well, yeah, the isolationist, yes.
He's an isolationist. So
I understand why there are many folks who that philosophy appeals to them. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But I will say this. I'll say it time and time again. When you get asked simple questions like, what about this country? What about this city? What about just name a foreign leader? And you can't even answer that. And then that makes me wonder.
Merkel!
Okay, Merkel, fine.
I just like saying Merkel. It's just fun.
Well, I think it was Dave Ennett this morning on the morning show that said, any world leader, he could have easily gotten away with saying the Pope.
Ooh.
Yeah, which would have been great. But then he's not really a world leader. See, to me,
he could have made the argument for it.
You can argue for the Pope as being a world leader, as somebody people look to lead.
Right.
Rob, this is something that I thought when he couldn't come up with what Aleppo, when he was stumbling there,
right.
is that he doesn't know how to answer a different question yet. Right, that's the kind of the skill of some of these master politicians is if they don't know the answer to something or they want to answer something else, they're very talented at just going in a different direction. So we never even need to know he didn't know Aleppo or that he couldn't name a world leader.
Well, see, but even with
he could have even answered like, well, President Obama has not been a good leader, so I wouldn't say him. You know what I'm saying? Like it would have been so easy, I think.
But then he doubles down on the following day on Twitter saying, I still can't think of a world leader that I respect, which is not what he was saying the day before. He just couldn't think up of the name of a world leader. Then he's trying to say, oh, well, it's one that I don't respect. I mean, he could have said yesterday, you know what, I can't think of really one that I really respect, that I really look up to. But he didn't do that. He just kept saying, well, I don't know. It's my Aleppo moment. Which, again, people will say, well, do you know all the world leaders? Maybe not, although I knew more than that. The average Jeopardy contestant knows more than that. But I think someone who's running for president should really know a lot more than I do. So But back to the point about endorsing Johnson, I know people are really frustrated with the current election and how they feel that both candidates have been pre-picked by the media. Mm-hmm. And there's all these conspiracy theories about, you know, oh, well, the DNC had Hillary all along, and that's why they torpedoed Bernie Sanders and so on and blah, blah, blah. You know, guys, this is called democracy. If you don't like who you have to vote for in the presidential election, show up for the primary.
What was the turnout for the primaries, do you think?
Oh, those were ridiculously low. The primaries, I mean, we're talking, they were clocking the 20 to 30% in many of the primaries.
Yeah, that's
so
the
people
thing.
Just weren't showing up to vote. And they're saying, well, there was a disenfranchising voters and there was voter fraud and blah, blah, blah. I go, if everyone shows up to vote, you can't do that sort of thing. And the other thing, too, is for those who say that your vote doesn't count, if your vote really didn't count, mm-hmm. they wouldn't spend so much money trying to get your vote.
There have been studies in the past that have shown definitively that angry voters are more motivated
yes.
than just your regular voter.
Oh, yeah.
And I think... frightened. I think
that's what we have this year.
This year's going to be frightened and angry. Here it is. More than 57.6 million people, or 28.5 of estimated eligible voters, voted in the Republican and Democratic presidential primaries.
So it's, but yeah, right. That's less than 30%.
Less than 30%. Do you know, everyone that's, is whether you're disappointed or not with Governor Rauner, do you know what the turnout was for that primary for Illinois? 16%.
I was going to say it was less than 20%, if I remember. And the whole thing with our own, mayor here, Rahm Emanuel, where there was all this people saying, well, he should be recalled, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, there was not only an election, but there was a runoff.
Yeah.
You know, so
two chances.
So respect to the mayor. He made it through two elections, not just one. And now people want to complain instead of actually using the vote that gives them the power to make a change. So mm-hmm. But to the effect.
And it was turnout was 40% in the mayoral runoff last year. Yes.
Yeah. The runoff was even less.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, 40% was for the general election, for the election itself. He didn't win by the majority, and then the runoff, the turnout for the runoff was even less than that.
40%.
I could be wrong. All right.
Voter turnout around 40%. I think that there is something to that, but yeah. Now we have what we have in the general election, right. And it means, you know, to make it one of these two people is going to win. There's just no getting around that. I don't think that there's any. I mean, you can support and endorse. I just wonder if there was a better way to have handled not wanting to pick Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, which I would think if you are that torn, do what USA Today has done for 34 years, which is stay out of it.
Yeah.
And say, hey, we don't endorse anybody.
And on the other hand, too, I really wish at this point that they had allowed Gary Johnson to be on that stage for the debate. You know, hey!
Oh my God!
Just go up there and let's see him. Let's see how he holds his own. But I'm sorry if you can't handle Chris Matthews.
Oh man!
Just the entertainment value alone of seeing Trump.
Well, but Matthews a lot like Bill O'Reilly. They're two very in your face interviewers.
Yeah.
And they don't give you a whole lot of wiggle room. And if you can't come up with answers immediately, they jump all over you. That is no excuse for Gary Johnson, by the way. In no way, shape, or form is that an excuse.
Yeah, imagine how stressful it is in a war room, you know?
Yeah, because Putin's going to go, hey, I got a question for you. Take a minute. Back to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and the most shining example of that right now is what's going on in Syria in terms of how we're dealing with somebody who imposes their will on somebody else.
Yep. We've drawn a line in the sand and they've gone right over it.
Well, it's crazy and there are a lot of things going on there. But that's the point. I mean, it's, you know, it's not always an easy thing when you've got, you know, millions of eyeballs on you. You're sitting in front of an audience. He should have known, though.
I agree. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to talk to the wonderful folks who are running the Cat Video Fest, which is playing at the Music Box on Sunday. That's this Sunday, October 2nd, which will benefit Friends of Animal Care and Control. In just a moment on 720 WGN. Walk on. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio on this last night, the last 10 minutes of September 30th in Chicago. Elliot, is it more dire when I say it that way, Elliot?
You are. It's like, I feel like the walls are closing in on
me. 9 minutes left in September.
September will be gone.
We are heading into October. And we are going to celebrate with whiskey and a cookie to ring in the...
We will. It's like September is like that... that girl I was dating, who I really, really liked, but she's dumping me now.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know how I can cheer you up? Let's go see some cat videos at the Music Box Theater on Sunday.
Awesome sauce.
This Sunday, Cat Video Fest plays at the Music Box Theater, and there are two showings at 2 and 4 o'clock. We have Charlie Propsim and Jenny... I'm sorry, you told me how to pronounce your name.
Schlieder.
I wrote it down, and I was like, nope, I'm going to get this wrong. So let me. I wrote down the way you spelled it, and I realized I should write it down the way I hear it. Sometimes they're two different things, aren't they? We have... We are excited that you guys, not only do you have this event on Sunday, but you have another one coming up on Thursday, the 6th through October 10th at the Vidim Theater. Did you say, is it Vidim? Vidim?
Vidim.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Vidim. Mm-hmm. With Acrocats. But first, tell us a little bit about this event on Sunday, the cat videos.
I think the fun thing about the Cat Video Fest, because when I explain it to people, I say it to people, they always look at me like they have no idea what it is. Well, what is it? And I say, it's a cat. Internet Cat Video Fest. So
all those videos you're wasting time at work watching,
right.
You've compiled all the best ones.
The best ones thematically, so there's drama and then comedy and action, and it's wonderful.
Romance,
documentary.
Yeah. Ooh.
And so, yeah, it's the best ones, so you don't have to waste your time on seeing ones that aren't good, but which would that be, right?
Yeah, how do you pick and choose? There's no such thing.
Yeah, so it's a really fun...
Because I'm stuck on the one where it is a great cause. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm stuck on the videos where the cats are licking ice cream and they get the brain freeze. Should I feel bad for the cats when they get the brain freeze?
No, they get over it.
Exactly, just like we do.
Because they go back to the ice cream right after. It's not like they're like, oh, this is bad. I need
just like I do.
Yeah.
My favorite is the cat wearing a shark suit riding a Roomba.
The Roomba. Yes.
I have not seen that one. Is that going to be part of the video fest?
That's usually like in the now because it's been around for a few years is a classic section.
Yes,
it's usually in the classics.
Well, and the great thing is to see it on a big screen. It's one thing to see it on your laptop or your tablet or your phone. We get to with a bunch of people having a good time,
right? And that's the key. The guy who started it, and this was actually an art exhibit. You know, this wasn't supposed to be for a bunch of cat people. This was supposed to be an ironic hipster, artsy fartsy thing that they started at the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis.
Oh, they were trying to be hip.
They were trying to be hip and cool, and then they said, "Well, we're going to bring all these people together and see what happens." And then they realized that not just like hipster ironic people came, but everybody came and brought their cats and their dogs and their families.
There's cats and dogs
people
living together.
Bring their animals.
Mass hysteria.
Yeah for the bipeduals. And
hold on, you just dropped the new term on me. The what?
Aren't you a bipetual? Everyone should be.
Okay. Bipetual.
I need to remember
Charlie,
that.
Are you bipetual?
Absolutely. Two cats, one dog.
Oh.
I'm tri-curious.
Birds. You throw birds in the mix.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you know, you like the rabbits and
rabbits.
The guinea pigs.
Yeah, we've got rabbits and guinea pigs.
It's a lot going on. Yeah. It's a zoo. It's mayhem.
That's the point. It's about people bringing people together to do this from all walks of life.
How do people bring their cats to this event?
On a harness and leash, of course, they come to kitty kindergarten class and train them.
Okay. No, because I used to have two cats, and I had dreams of taking them for walks. But, like, I just imagine, like, cats kind of walking all the way, like, with their bellies to the ground. I know I'm doing it in the studio, like, how I imagine them.
I see that.
I can't do it on the radio, but, like, just all hunched down, right?
Or they just flop over, too.
They flop over when they're on a leash?
It's better.
Come on over to your microphone right here.
The best way to refuse. So some people bring them in kitty strollers, which is probably recommended in a big crowd.
Yeah, I would think. Plus dogs?
Mm-hmm.
This is so exciting. I'm excited to come on Sunday.
Well, and I don't want to false advertise. That was in Minneapolis when they did it on the Great Lawn.
Okay.
I assume at the Music Box, actually, they probably won't let dogs and cats in.
Oh, I'm
sorry.
So sad.
I'm sorry.
Now we have to travel to Minneapolis. You got us all excited, Elliot. No, but the thing that we're coming for are the great videos, this wonderful fest, and to support the Friends of Animal Care and Control. And that's where you're from, Charlie.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about the work that you do there.
Okay. Friends was started about 15 years ago to help the animals at the City Pound in Chicago. The city animal shelter, Animal Care and Control, is the largest shelter in the city, and nobody knows it's there.
Oh, Well, let's learn more about that. We're going to take a break here, and I'm going to come back because we have another segment. We're not rushing you at all because we want to find out more about the work that you're doing and what people should know about the Friends of Animal Care and Control. And we also want to find out more about the Video Fest as well as AcroCats. It's going to be next week at the Vidim Theater. More after the Vidim?
Vidim.
Okay, we'll find out. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Elliot Serrano, our Chief Geek Officer. And you can go to geektome.net to find out all things that the King of Geeks has to say. We also have in studio with us Jenny Schleter, who is working with the Animal Care and Control. She's runs their media. Is that the best way to describe your position?
Some of it, uh-huh.
What's the rest of it? You can tell us all of it.
I just started.
So developing as we go. Right.
But the overall goal is to help save more animals' lives.
Wonderful. And also with the Friends of Animal Care and Control is Charlie Propsim. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine.
I told you it was just a casual conversation, didn't I?
Absolutely.
How did you get involved with the Friends of Animal Care and Control?
Oh, my gosh. I work in advertising, or I did before I retired, and my boss and I used to have friendly fights about animal things because I was always very passionate about them, and he was a pigeon shooter.
I could see how you would be kind of coming at it from different angles.
Yeah,
okay.
We kind of butted heads, but his barber's wife was an advocate for animals. She was hounding the city for many years to take a more humane approach to animal care and control. Mm-hmm. And so one day, Tom said, I know somebody who your wife could hook up with who might help. And so I met this woman. She was lovely, Lily, and mm-hmm. she was a Swedish lady. And we have to do something with these animals. Anyway, that's how I got roped into it. I went to a meeting out there and saw Animal Care and Control for the first time and said, okay, I'm never going back in those kennels, mm-hmm. but I can help you with advertising.
Oh, there you go. And are you from Chicago originally?
No, I'm from Door County, Wisconsin.
Really? Yeah. Which part?
Sturgeon Bay.
Okay. I mean, you know, everybody spent some time at what's the one with the goats on the roof?
Al Johnson's Sister Bay.
We've been through Sturgeon. I mean, some of the best cherries in the world. Yeah. You got to get some cherry pie when you go to Door County. Yeah. And so you're from Door County originally, uh-huh. and you came to Chicago to work in advertising, or did you do advertising there?
I did advertising in Madison, Wisconsin for many years, too, and then moved down to the big city because I wanted to see what it was like to work with the big guys.
And how did that turn out for you?
It was wonderful.
Oh, really?
It was great.
I'm glad to hear that. It's got to be, I mean, it's an adjustment to go from Door County with just, you know, beautiful landscape, mm-hmm. wide open, you know, with the gorgeous beautiful. Scenery. And then Madison's a great college town. I mean, it's a great capital as well.
It was great. It was a good place to live. I stayed there for way too long.
There's nothing wrong with that. Are you from Madison as well?
I'm also a cheesehead. Uh-huh. From a little town called Port Washington, north of Milwaukee.
Okay, I know Port Washington, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, really nice area, mm-hmm. really pretty. Mm-hmm. And then you ended up in Madison as well?
As well.
Mm-hmm. Going to UW or? Mm-hmm. And what were you studying there?
Journalism, sociology, and social work.
Well, you know, why don't you just do it all?
Yeah, right.
That's a great combination. And did you come to Chicago for work as well?
Yeah, sort of. I lived in Spain for a while, after school.
Sure. I mean, who doesn't live in Spain when they're done with school? That really seems like what sent you to Spain? Were you studying abroad?
Well, actually I was supposed to study abroad and then I had a little injury and I couldn't go.
Okay.
So I decided to postpone it until after I graduated. And then I was supposed to go for like a 3-month intensive language thing, but then I stayed almost 7 years.
What? Wait.
I loved
it
there.
That's fantastic. I'm just going to go for a couple months, years.
It was
years.
Fun.
How did, what compelled you to stay for 7 years? It's great, but.
I got a job with Reuters. I worked as a journalist there for a while. Mm-hmm. And then there was some who's listening. There were some legal paper issues, so then I need to, in order to get my papers, I needed to be self-employed.
Right.
So then I started a little secondhand bookshop / cat rescue.
Oh, wow. So now that kind of brings you full circle mm-hmm. to working at the Animal Care and Control.
Yeah.
And Charlie, what kind of advertising? Is there any of the campaigns that we would know? Or, I mean, I hate asking that. You know what? That's a silly.
No, it's fun because I've had a very varied career.
Uh-huh.
I came to work at J. Walter Thompson 800 million years ago, and I was hired to work on McDonnell Douglas there. So
ooh.
I did the launch campaign for the F-15E fighter plane.
Sure, why not? Yeah, because wow. Everyone needs to have that campaign. Yeah. Yeah.
And the F-A-18, I did advertising for their electronic systems, helicopters, Apaches, you name it. And then
that's did, great.
Did a whole bunch of other stuff in the middle. And my last 12 years before I retired were spent doing pharmaceutical advertising,
uh-huh.
which was fascinating. And I did the launch campaign for Abilify, which is an antipsychotic, which everyone should take.
Wonderful. Yeah. I love that an advertiser is like, everyone should take antipsychotic medication. Yeah. Then we'll actually buy everything.
Yeah.
There you go.
Put it in a water supply.
And Charlie and Jenny are here to talk about the Cat Video Fest, which is playing this Sunday at the Music Box Theater. And again, these are 70 minutes collected videos from the internet. Some of them are classics. They're themed, whether it's drama, comedy, documentary. And what times are the show? Are the videos running?
2 o'clock and 5 o'clock.
Okay. Oh, 2 and 5. I apologize mm-hmm. if I got that wrong earlier. Oh, and everyone can go to musicboxtheater.com for more information about the showtimes and buying tickets. You also have the amazing Acrocats coming up on the opening October 6th and running through the 9th. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, my gosh. Now, so if you're impressed with the VidFest, you'll be super impressed with the Acrocats because these are trained cats. They're clicker trained.
Mm-hmm.
People know that you can train dogs with clickers, but you can train cats. You know that. You can train cats with clickers as well.
But they're a little more, are they more selective with what they'll answer to?
Depends.
See?
Maybe.
Okay.
Some of them. And they do everything. They're tight roping. They're jumping through hoops. They're, I don't know what else. They do all
guitars?
This. Yes. Yeah. Well, the Rock Cats is the finale. So first they do circus acts.
Gotcha.
And then at the end, the musicians come out, the Rock Cats, and there's a drummer. And then they have a couple of other species helping. They have a chicken playing the cymbal and a groundhog playing the gong.
Okay, hold on.
Did you say the Rock Cats or the Rockettes?
Rock Cats.
The Rock Cats. That's what
the
I
Rock
thought.
Cats.
Okay.
Is this before or after we take the antipsychotic? This is getting a little surreal right now.
And you know, the trainer, Samantha Martin, is from Chicago.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So they originate here in Chicago. Now they go all over the world.
And you can go to circuscats.com to find out about the tuna and the rock cats and the amazing acro cats. But this event is at the Vidim Theater, which is at 1012 North Noble Street, opening on October 6th, running through the 9th. Times will vary, but proceeds go to the Chicago Animal Care and Control. And then on the opening night, you also have your big night. Tell us about so this is with chefs, Steve Dale, all kinds of things are happening at the Big Night.
Yeah, Big Night is, this is our 12th year mm-hmm. of doing it. And it was started by a Chicago chef named Jackie Shen. She started asking her chef friends to come and cook and do a benefit for the animals. And the first 2 years, it was in the backyard of Animal Care and Control, and it poured rain both times.
Wow.
So, now we're in the beautiful cultural center downtown, and I'm talking with my hands. That doesn't work on radio.
That's fine. You're absolutely fine. Which is the former library, isn't it?
It's a gorgeous building. And for $130 a ticket, which sounds huge, but you get to eat the delicious food of about, I think we've got 14 chefs this year that will be lining the room.
What?
And silent auctions and live auctions, and Mr. Dale from mm-hmm. WGN will be our host. And it's just
Steve
a lot of
Dale!
It's just a lot of fun.
You do very animated. That's great. But, and people can get tickets by visiting FCACC.org, which is the short, you know, the an acronym for Friends of Animal Care and Control. Yeah. Is an acronym the way to?
Yes.
I panicked. I shouldn't have even questioned it. Say it with conviction, commit, and just plow forward. But that's Big Night, their 12th annual Celebrity Chefs Benefit. And that's going to be again Thursday, October 6th at the Chicago Cultural Center, Preston Bradley Hall at 78 East Washington Street. And you can also call for reservations at 312-224-1116. Or again, visit FCACC.org. That's F as in Frank, C as in cat, A as in apple, C as in cat.
Or Chihuahua.
Or Chihuahua. Oh, I'm sorry, Chihuahua. Chihuahua. Oh, yeah, I should change that for
Cocker Spaniel.
Okay.
You know, come on.
I know. I was just trying to help out. Arrow Cats opening on the same night, running through the 9th. Is there anything you want to make sure people know about the Animal Care and Control in Chicago before we go?
Well, I think one of the important things to know, besides the fact that it's the biggest shelter in the city, mm-hmm. is that they are funded by our city government, mm-hmm. and they don't get a lot of money there. They survive on a half to two-thirds of what other communities do.
Mm-hmm. Or one-third, actually. Sorry.
Thank you. And she should know now. She knows the details. But... that's one of the reasons that Friends of Animal Care and Control exists, is to help support the shelter with things that they just can't do.
Right.
And if you're going to be a humane community, you really need to take care of those animals. You can't treat them badly and expect a good outcome.
Right. So. And the best thing to do is participate in your community. This is one of the, we always wonder, how can we help? And these are some really fun events that people can participate in. Again, the Cat Video Fest plays at the Music Box Theater this Sunday. Go to musicboxtheater.org for more information on that one. Thank you so much. Were you going
to
say something?
Well, I just wanted to say, too, we've had some remarkable statistics at Animal Care and Control. In a city the size of Chicago, with the lack of funding that this department survives on, they have a 90% save rate for cats.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
tremendous.
90% of them leave alive. Mm-hmm. So that's really something to celebrate.
Right.
Dogs... Jenny, what is the dog number?
I think we're at 76%.
And yeah. let's help them improve those more. Numbers. You know what? 90% is great. There's nothing wrong with shooting for better. And the
right.
same
Absolutely.
Thing, obviously, improving.
That's what we're working
for. For rescuing dogs. So let's be a part of the solution. Again, go to musicboxtheater.com for this Sunday's Cat Videos Fest. And you can also go to the Vidim Theater, October 6th to the 9th, and go to the event, The Big Night. And we'll talk more about that on Monday as well with Steve Dale, I promise.
Okay.
And I'll
Thank
post
you.
Those links.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, ladies. When we come back, it's time for Whiskey and a Cookie with Rob Martier and Elliot Serrano. More on 720 WGN. It's pretty late. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We are launching a brand new segment called Whiskey and a Cookie. What do you think, Rob Martier?
I'm in. I've already had a cookie and a half, and I've had a couple of sips of whiskey, so we're good.
We are all set. I there's something kind of simple and wonderful about it, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We were at a fundraiser last weekend where it was at a barn out in Lake Forest for Equestrian Connection, and they were handing out cookies, and I needed something to drink, and I ended up at the bar with some whiskey, and I was like, this is amazing.
There you go.
And Elliot felt like it needed to be something. It needed to exist outside of that moment. A segment was born. I don't know what it is yet. It's basically the weekend wind-up, but now it's called Whiskey and a Cookie, I think.
I like it. It's catchy.
Right? Because it's kind of – here's what it is. Because you and I talk about – we come from different angles sometimes on political stuff or social issues or whatever it is. And oftentimes we actually agree. We find middle ground.
Yeah, we do.
But there's something like rough and tough about whiskey and sweet and delicious about a cookie, and those two together. Like that's what we – you know what I mean? Like it can be a rough conversation, or
so
it can be a sweet conversation.
So what you're saying is that I'm the cookie and you're the whiskey.
Yes, I am the whiskey. You know I'm the whiskey. And Elliot is the and.
Yeah. Well, I will say, speaking of cookies and the aroma of cookies, mm-hmm. Rob Martier's got a sweet aroma about him today. I don't know.
I don't know what's happening right now, but you're freaking me out.
It's my aftershave. He's admiring my aftershave.
He's intoxicating when he walked by.
It's Mont Blanc, just so you know. At Macy's.
Uncomfortable. Mont Blanc?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, like the pen? Well, they now have a fragrance.
Okay, a pen company has made a fragrance?
Hey,
The Kardashians have a fragrance. Why not, right?
Toshiba makes cars. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Samsung makes washing machines that explode. I'm not even kidding about that. Did you see this story this
Saab
week?
Saab makes fighter jets. I mean, you know. We can go on and on.
I know. And wait a minute. There's something else. Somebody makes coffee makers. I can't remember. There's like Mercedes.
That also explode?
No.
By Samsung?
Did you see this? They make washing machines that explode as well as.
Everything they make explodes.
There's one in Texas that blew through a garage wall.
Well, Rolls-Royce, don't they make plane engines?
That's where they started making.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right.
Well, as long as you have a factory, you may as well just go for it, I guess.
Just make everything.
Just make it all. I don't know. That seems like a way to bring more jobs back. Let's just make everything again, for crying out loud.
Why not?
I wanted to ask you guys about, because I woke up, well, actually, I had a hard time falling asleep. And so one, I woke up to the endorsement of the Chicago Tribune for Gary Johnson. But at the same time, the story that was everyone was tweeting about was Donald Trump had apparently, people were making jokes like he, you know, he was tweeting every time he had to go to the bathroom. It was like 5 a.m. But he was basically saying, and this is for what, 4 days after the debate, telling Hillary Clinton that she made a bad choice using Alicia Machado, who is a former Miss Universe, who he had publicly shamed at the time. And here's the thing, like, that was a story I remember from 20 years ago, that he went after this woman for gaining some weight. She had gone from 118 pounds to 130. He was calling her Miss Piggy. He also called her, you know, housekeeping. I remember her being on a treadmill and he was, you know, talking about how she really, you know, she was embarrassing to the entire concept of the Miss Universe pageant. But anyway, for whatever reason, you know, Hillary has launched this campaign, and not for whatever reason. I think it's important in some ways to go, this is how he talks about women. I kind of like that commercial with the girls in the mirror and things like that.
Yeah, they're looking at themselves.
But he chose this morning to just like, I can't take it anymore. I got to tweet and say there's a sex video of Alicia Machado. That's what he was alluding to, wasn't it? There's video.
Have really? You
seen? Yes.
Well. Apparently, he said that there was, but if you actually do a name, a search on her, there is a porn star that has this a similar name and looks similar to her,
right?
But is not her.
So that's what he was alluding to.
He was alluding to that. Yes.
Oh.
It looked like her.
He decided to shift. He pivoted from fat shaming to slut shaming at 5 a.m. for Alicia Machado.
Well, when you're alone with your thoughts, as we've seen with Donald Trump, I mean, when he doesn't have handlers around him to go, no, little Donald, that's not right.
Wouldn't you take control of his cell phone?
They've done that, though. They've had folks do that. They take control of his Twitter account. Can tell when it's him tweeting and when it's someone from his campaign tweeting.
I can almost see the frustration. It's Kellyanne Conway, right, his new campaign manager. And when she does interviews, very, very well-spoken woman. I mean, she's in this to win it. You know that she is.
Oh, yeah.
Then they start asking her questions about just the silliness and the ridiculousness of what, you know, is the Trump campaign more often than not. And you can see the look on her face going, I don't know what to do anymore.
Right.
This isn't normal, and we're trying to rein it in.
One of the answers she gave earlier in the week was about the facts, some of the things that he had said during the debate. And she said, well, he can't say something factual if he doesn't know what the truth is. He doesn't actually know what it is. And I was like, how is that an answer?
Yeah, and I think that's causing a little bit of turmoil, you know, with Team Trump, that there's some of this going on. But again, you know, even the most seasoned politicians need to have somebody step in every so often and go, look, we need to pull back a little bit here.
Well, somebody posted on Facebook that, so what if he was tweeting at 5 a.m, at least you know he'll be awake to take the call when something happens. Yeah. And I thought, but he's tweeting at a woman who he already shamed 20 years ago, which, by the way, then Hillary actually brought her in. But that was already something that they had worked out beforehand because Cosmopolitan had a spread ready to go for Alicia Machado. They were already gearing up to make this part of the entire face this week.
This is all part of the chess match.
Yes.
I mean, if people think that this is just something that, you know, happens spontaneously, they're wrong. No. All of this stuff has been pre-planned and he fell for it hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, yes, he did.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, because they knew.
Oh, yeah.
they knew.
They knew how to poke him. Yeah. Hi, Roger Badish. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, Patty Bazka.
And you were posting that you were disappointed by your bowling scores, I believe.
Yeah, RoboArm needs to be retired.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
I think that thing that I've got in my neck is come back, and it's affecting my right arm.
You need a massage. I'm not offering, but I think you need a massage.
Yeah, I do.
You definitely need something my husband calls a thumper. We have one of those big, like, I know that sounds really wrong, but there's like a massage, one of those big massagers, and it.
It's like it has the ball and the thing, and it goes.
Yeah,
it's very aggressive.
I like the one I used to have in physical therapy. They actually hook you up to electrodes, and they send undulating shocks through your body.
Oh, the TENS machine.
Is that what it's called?
It's called a TENS machine. Yeah,
I don't know. I used to fall asleep to it.
I have a TENS machine. Where you have like those little patches, and you just kind of alternate the red and black wires.
I think he hooked them up to my back. I never saw the thing, but it would. He kept saying, "All right, now I'm going to turn it up, and you tell me when it hurts too much."
Do you ever get to the point where they turn it up and it like you like spasm? Do you ever have that happen?
I had that once a long, long, long time ago.
Yeah.
But,
I'm just remembering.
Well, no, it's...
Patty looks like Elaine Bennis over there doing the dance on Seinfeld.
We were moving back from Vegas, and I was starting to get migraine headaches because things were just in a tizzy, so to speak. And I basically couldn't open my eyes or close my eyes past like a halfway point.
Oh, no.
It was really bad. And so I went to a physical therapist my first time, and they did... the heat and electric shock on my shoulders, and my arm literally started to unravel.
Yeah.
It spun and twitched, and I felt great afterwards.
Yes, I have my own TENS machine, and what it does is it circumvents the message of pain to your brain as well, is part of what it does. So it allows you to relax that part of your body.
I did. I'd sleep for like 15, 20 minutes on my latest physical therapy with that machine, and always felt great after it.
I don't recommend that people buy their own without having met with a therapist
or
first.
Or stick your finger in electrical outlet to try to get the same sensation.
Wow, I don't know how you made that jump, but there it is. Let's go. We're going to, just a little bit, we're going to carry on our conversation. We have a lot to talk about tonight, and we want to find, you know what, we're having whiskey and a cookie, but we want to, I know, we have cookies for you, Roger. Come on down for a cookie. Okay.
And I got an addition for your animal care and control people.
Okay.
That I couldn't get in at the time because I was busy up here. But I was somewhat instrumental in the building of the new animal care and control facility.
Oh, we did not know that. Well, let's find out more after the news then.
Okay.
All right. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We are in the middle of whiskey and a cookie. How are your cookies, by the way, boys? You have any good cookies? Which one did you choose? Elliot?
Let's see. Well, Rob and I split one of the macadamia nut cookies, the white chocolate macadamia nut, and then I had an oatmeal cookie. I thought it was a chocolate chip cookie.
Were you disappointed?
No.
That can
it
be
was
disappointing.
So good, though.
Okay.
I mean, they definitely made up for the oatmeal part. This thing was like packed with sugar and honey because it had a nice texture to it. It was good.
And I had one of the chocolate chunk, the chocolate chunk.
It was, I haven't even had a cookie yet. No. I'm not drinking tonight. I'm on medication.
I'm not sure how many sticks of butter are in each cookie.
All the butter.
But it's really good.
You can never have enough sticks of butter.
No.
How do the cookies pair with Jameson's whiskey, by the way?
Nicely, actually.
No.
I have ginger ale, by the way, if we need some. I know if you like ginger ale.
We'll take it neat.
All right, take it neat.
Yeah.
I know. Elliot, like, rolled his eyes at me when I asked him if he wanted some ice.
But, you know, when you have Jameson, you don't mess with it.
No. I think you're right about that. It's funny how quickly people... Jameson is one of those whiskeys that people just love, that it just strikes a chord with, I guess, the purists of whiskey.
It's good all around, yeah.
I remember the first time I had whiskey, I was in Ireland. That's not true. It was not the first time I had whiskey, but was going to sip whiskey rather than take shots. It's one thing to take a shot of Jack Daniels and you just kind of gut it out, you know, and like it just tastes like wood chips. Jack's the kind of thing I believe goes better in mixed with something, don't you think?
Jack
and Coke is nice.
Sure.
Or Jack and ginger ale probably.
Could do
nice.
That.
Yeah. But I was in Ireland, and I'm in Ireland. I've got to have, you know, Jameson, and they have it on tap. They have the bottles upside down, and they just, you know, pour out the little glass of it. And I took a sip, and honestly, I was like, I could, like, this was, I was only 25 or something, and I just could not drink it. It is perhaps one of those things. Do you think it's an acquired taste? Did you start out enjoying whiskey?
Maybe it's a genetic thing, but I did. I mean, I'm a big Maker's Mark fan. I love Blanton's.
I've never tried Blanton's.
Blanton's is good.
All
Blanton's
right.
is very nice, very smooth.
Because I like whiskey now.
Yeah.
I like it sometimes with a little bit of ice, but I'll drink it neat. I like a little Bullet is good. That's a rye whiskey.
Bullet is good, too, yeah.
It's very
and
good.
What is, I know we've had him here. He was in Chicago promoting the Duke, John Wayne's son. has a bourbon.
Oh, out. I did not know that. How was that one?
Very good.
What's that called?
The Duke.
It's called the Duke?
I think so.
Oh, that makes sense.
Let me do a quick Google check. But
do you have a favorite, Elliot?
Sure. Right now, there are a few. You just got me into Larceny. That was like the new one.
Larceny is really, you know what, next week, or when we're done with the, because we'll keep this in our cabinet for whiskey and a cookie next week, but Larceny is one, it's affordable, but it's also got almost like a caramelly taste. Mm-hmm. Okay, by the way, I was called out for saying caramel last night. Some believed incorrectly.
Caramel. You were saying caramel.
Caramel, how do you say it?
It's caramel.
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 Okay, then.
Like as in a car.
Mm-mm. Caramel.
You don't say.
Well, that's okay because Lou Manfredini actually made a two-syllable word out of s'mores.
S'mores?
S'mores.
S'mores.
Technically, it is.
Mm-mm.
Yes.
No, s'mores. The apostrophe. That's like saying "they're" would be.
Technically, well.
They're because you they're. Like you're hitting the apostrophe.
There.
S'mores. You just run it together like
s'mores.
There.
S'mores.
There.
S'mores.
Okay.
But yeah, but and if yes, bullet bourbon. I've been into that, and then of course I'm with Rob on Maker's Mark as well.
I don't know that I've had. I think that Maker's Mark's a little more sharp. I think bullet is a little softer, mm-hmm. and Larceny is even smoother. Maybe that's what we'll do. We'll have to go through all the
whiskey. Yeah, we got to do the cookie and whiskey pairings.
Yeah, I think so too. Like which whiskey? Yeah. That sounds like a long night.
Because didn't we do this last year? You did. Halloween candy and wine.
Wine with knife and tine. They came in and we did like Tootsie Rolls and candy corn and candy bars with wines. Yeah.
So now we got to do whiskey. What whiskeys go best with cookies?
Yeah, I don't even know if we need any advice on that. Just sit around with glasses of whiskey. Roger, are you? Have you ever been a whiskey connoisseur or enjoyer?
No.
No, never liked whiskey?
I don't usually do hard liquor. I think the only hard liquor I used to was screwdrivers. easy on the screw and, you know.
Heavy on the driver?
Yeah,
which
exactly.
One's which? They both sound like they're the rough part.
Well, I would take a little more orange juice.
Okay, fair enough.
But Tullamore Dew is a whiskey.
Tullamore Dew, isn't that a scotch? Oh, it is a whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah, scotch.
Scotch, I find.
I had it at my doctor's office, actually.
Pardon me? What exam were you having done? I could see for some of the exams that you guys have to have done, I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to need a shot at something.
I have the greatest doctor in the world. He's a former police officer from New York who became a doctor. And he has and he plays bass guitar. He rides motorcycles, and he has a bar in his office.
And when does he serve cocktails? What part of the appointment does that happen?
There's no river.
There we go.
No, it's you do have to ask if it's okay if you can go have one. But he has all these because Irish. So he's got all these Irish whiskeys on the windowsill all around his office.
Wow.
And he does have a bar there. And so you can go in and have a little something. You ask him first, and you go into his office and pour yourself a little drink. And
you had some Tullamore Dew?
I had some Tullamore Dew, and it tasted really good. I don't have as wide a range of whiskey repartee as
apparently
some
we do. You're being very delicate, but in the studio we're like, let me tell you something else. I like some Larceny, some bullets. I like some Woodridge.
Yeah,
I like
right. It's got a woody taste. It's got a little bite. No, yeah.
Angel's
no, this was very smooth, and I liked it. And he said that people who really drink whiskey drink that. And I go, okay, fine.
Tullamore Dew. I'll have to see if that's true. Rick has a recommendation for us. Welcome to Whiskey and a Cookie, Rick. How are you doing?
Hi, excellent. Great listening to you guys.
Thank you.
And a wonderful topic for you guys to discuss at this hour.
I know, isn't it? Just kind of, especially with the chill in the air now of autumn, it just seems right to sit back with whiskey and a cookie.
Definitely. And I'm going to have some in a minute here. But the one I like is Buffalo Trace.
Yes. That's good, too. Yes. Somebody brought me a bottle of that here. I think we lost that a while ago. I agree. Buffalo Trace. What would you say? How would you describe it to people?
It just like bursts with flavors. It's like got caramel and vanilla.
Yes.
And the right amount of spice in it. And it tastes you know, for whatever it is, $24 a bottle, it tastes like a $60 bottle of bourbon.
I agree completely. And would you say that that pairs very well with cookies?
I'm going to find that out, too.
What kind of cookie are you going to have?
It'll be chocolate chip, probably.
I think it's going to go very well. Enjoy. I'm so glad we inspired you to have a whiskey and a cookie with us. Cheers.
Yes.
Happy,
cheers to you guys.
Happy October. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and I'm sharing whiskey and a cookie with my good friends, Elliot Serrano, Adam Selzer, and Rob Martier. Rob Martier, of course, our newsman and an enjoyer of things that are whiskey. Whiskey and such. How about whiskey and such? That, I think whiskey and a cookie is better.
I like whiskey and a cookie, yeah.
Adam Selzer, who has some great tours, some great ghost tours coming up this month. Where can
all sorts of tours. We got ghost tours, cemetery walks, grave robbing tours, Devil in the Wise City tours. It's going to be a very busy month.
It's going to be very busy. And where can people get information about buying tickets to this?
MysteriousChicago.com.
MysteriousChicago.com. And yep. After one, we'll talk about some of those specific tours and what people can see.
Starting in less than 12 hours.
The tour start?
Yeah, the first Graceland Cemetery walk is tomorrow morning.
Oh, excellent. Well, we don't want to let you have too much of the Jameson then. You've got to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And we also have our chief geek officer, Elliot Serrano. You can go to geektome.net for all things that our king of geeks has to say, including Force Friday, I'm guessing.
Force Friday. That was this past Friday. All the new toys for the Rogue One movie came out, and I was out there. It was I went to Target. And they have the big cutout of the Death Troopers. Did you see them, Adam? The Death Troopers?
I have missed those so far.
Yeah, they have them at the front when you first walk in, and it's there for you to go in and take a selfie with them.
You and I kind of, that's where, yeah. Yeah, so those I are
took,
our moments.
I took quite a few selfies. The guy at the Target was there, goes, do you want me to take your picture for you? And he I went, okay, and he's taking my photo. And then a gal walked in, and she saw me posing in front of, the Death Troopers. And she looked at me, she smiled, she went, that's a really cute photo. And I'm not going, is she making an observation or, yeah, or am I getting hit on and I don't realize
you'd
it?
You'd probably be pretty if you just smiled every now and then, Elliot.
Uh-huh. No. You know, we know I don't smile.
It's funny that you should mention Death Troopers, because a lot of people believe that if Donald Trump is elected, we'll have Death Troopers. See what I did there? See what I did there? Even ahead of time, I was letting you know I was going to go goofy. Off the air, we were talking just a moment ago, and I really do want to record the conversations in between, because you guys were really having a great conversation about the fact that the Chicago Tribune, Adam, you wanted to know if we would talk about the Tribune coming out.
Yeah, you had covered that. I don't know if I had missed it or not.
A little bit briefly, and well, you were not impressed.
The Chicago Tribune's endorsement of Abraham Lincoln probably made his nomination possible. If that convention hadn't been in another city and the Tribune hadn't endorsed him, it's almost unthinkable that Lincoln would have even been nominated in the first place.
Interesting.
These things can have some weight. And now these hallowed halls of the Chicago Tribune writes a big editorial today saying Clinton is eminently qualified for the job, but vote Johnson just to be a jerk.
Do you think it would have been better to refrain from endorsing at all?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, this happens right after the day Johnson goes on television and can't name a foreign leader.
Right.
And, the word is going around to the Washington Post that Johnson seemed unfamiliar with the name Harriet Tubman.
Oh, no.
And it almost seems like it can't have been true. It's Washington Post had a thing about it a while today.
Oh, my gosh. But, by the way, Craig,
this does not, endorsing a fellow such as this does not make the Chicago Tribune look like they deserve to have the building as fantastic as this one, which they just sold this week. Makes me a little less sad about that.
Okay, then. I know. I'm sad that they've sold it. I mean, I hope that we get to stay for a long time.
Yes, as Elliot? A Chicago history guy, yeah, I'm sad that they sold this one. There hasn't been a building so associated with this newspaper anywhere else in the country.
Is that true?
No other newspaper really has their own skyscraper that the people really associate with that building, that paper anymore.
Interesting.
Not really.
Right. Gum, I guess Gum is across the street with the Wrigley building.
Yeah.
And then, I never really thought of that.
Yeah.
Oh, this is why Adam is good to have in the room when we're talking about this.
I didn't think he'd have that kind of an opinion.
I know.
He has to wrap it up in history.
I know, with like knowledge and everything.
You just can't go, that was dumb.
That's what I think you can't just go, that was stupid of him.
I was going to ask Craig and Elliot if they thought perhaps this is why Scott Stantis was noticeably absent from our Thursday night show, because he is quite the fan of Gary Johnson.
I think he's working on a cartoon of himself just crying.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's exactly what he's doing.
I saw he was very excited on Twitter this morning.
Scott was?
Oh,
Scott is all in on Gary Johnson. Yeah. He has a shirt that says, Feel the Johnson.
I'm not going to feel the Johnson.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. It just annoyed me. Their toes, like, you know, well, Clinton could do the job just fine, but let's all vote Johnson anyway, just to be jerks. But I think that's the whole appeal of libertarian politics, right there, is just kind of being a jerk. But I think all the people who are that into it are probably voting Trump.
So. Let's be honest here. We are in a political probiotic stage right now. You pop the pill, it cleans out all the toxic sludge, and then out the other end, hopefully you feel cleansed. I mean, that's this election cycle is exactly that. People are upset. They're angry. They're frustrated. So we've scraped the bottom of the barrel with the two leading candidates, and then we will move forward after that.
You talk about probiotics. Is that why Jill Stein looks kind of like Jamie Lee Curtis?
She's taking her yogurt. Yeah, yeah. Yogurt. Her kefir. Is she getting
the kefir? Kefir, some of that.
Boy, that stuff's disgusting.
Oh, I know. I was reading something about how like the okay, let's not get into it.
I go to Stanley's and they got all these flavors like ooh French vanilla kefir. Maybe that's good. It's not.
No, let's see. You got to really.
You know what I saw at Whole Foods the other day? Coconut drinking vinegar. It's in two flavors, one of which is lemon cayenne. It's like, do you just buy this to frame somebody or something? Like, put it in their car and the judge will believe they're capable of anything.
Okay, hold on. This was Whole Foods?
Whole Foods, of course.
This is the same store that gave us asparagus water.
Yeah. Oh.
Remember asparagus water?
No,
coconut water is bad enough. Coconut vinegar. And they're charging $5 a bottle.
Yeah, I think they're doing it on a dare. They're saying, hey, let's make this stuff and see if people will buy it.
Possibly.
Yeah. Again, speaking of things that are hard to swallow,
snake oil
this year is presidential.
Gave it something called it something better than that.
Election. So the third part, I was just Googling about the third party system, or at least the existence of our third party, but really there's the Libertarian Party, right? Because we say third party, and Jill Stein is Green Party.
Green Party.
Is she Green Party?
Yeah.
Green, yeah. She's green.
So Libertarians, just for those who like wonder, we do need like cheat sheets as to what this means. So Libertarian will be laissez-faire, pro-civil liberties, and anti-war. Does that sound accurate as far as a description?
Yeah. Basically, just government goes away.
Right, yeah. Less right. Government.
Close to anarchy as you can get without actually being an anarchist.
They're not Tea Party people. They're libertarians. I don't think they want the government to go away entirely.
Is Tea Party considered a party yet, or is that just part of the Republican Party?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about classifications of political ideology, then certainly the Tea Party would be one you'd have to throw out there.
Yeah, it's not on the wiki page.
It's not an official party. They don't nominate them.
Well, if it doesn't come up in a Google search, then I guess it can't be official.
It says a right wing party, and then the two subsections are America's Party and the Independent American Party. So there's the voter registration over 75,000 right now for the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, and the Constitution Party, which I'm not familiar with.
I think that they're very far right.
It is. Social conservatism, religious right, and paleo conservatism. I didn't know.
What does that mean?
Well, that's what the dinosaurs practice.
It involves a lot of beating people with clubs.
Yeah, but that's why the dinosaurs died.
Right.
Because voter turnout was like terrible.
Sometimes shortened to paleocon, is a conservative political philosophy found primarily in the United States, stressing tradition, limited government, and civil society, along with religious, regional, national, and Western identity.
All right.
What happened to the Reform Party, though? The Reform Party was really big there, too. Even Trump wanted to run under the Reform Party.
Yeah, I feel like they just kind of became a catch-all. If your own party kicked you out or you didn't get nominated by your own party, you could just go be in the Reform Party.
And Elliot brought that. I think that's important to note, too, because during the primaries, Trump, on a regular basis, threatened to
run
do it. Yeah, have a third party run if he wasn't.
I assumed he was going to eventually.
Well, I don't see the Reform Party on this list as well. For the left wing collection, there's a Communist Party, the Freedom Socialist Party, Party for Socialism and Liberation, Peace and Freedom Party, Justice Party, Socialist Action, Socialist Equity Party, Socialist Alternative, Socialist Party, Socialist Workers, Workers World Party, and Working Families Party. That's a lot of left wing parties.
Now, which one was Sanders before he declared Democrat?
Oh,
I mean, he was socialist.
He was just independent, I believe.
But he was a socialist.
Yeah. Well, he describes himself as a socialist, but his party affiliation was independent.
So. And there are state-only parties.
Is the Natural Law Party still around?
I don't.
They were the ones who were always trying to solve every problem with transcendental meditation.
Yes, they are. But it's Michigan, the Natural Law Party. Hold on, let me see. They're affiliated with the Natural Law Party, founded in 1992.
Dr. Hagelin, I think the guy's name was.
You're right. The party proposed that political problems could be solved through alignment with the united, unified feels of all the laws of nature through the use of transcendental meditation. Leading members were Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, the leader
of... Beatles Maharishi. Yeah.
That sounds like something Yoda would be in.
Could you see people all rolling out their yoga mats and just... I think that was... We missed out on voting.
Well, Canada has four parties.
Four.
They do.
The beer party.
The beer party.
the
beer pong party.
The maple syrup party.
The toque party and the hockey party.
That's right.
These are all good parties. These are all... There are some single issue or protest oriented parties. The United States Marijuana Party. I want to go to that party.
That party makes me paranoid.
Make sure you bring your cookies.
Bring all the cookies. And stay away from the Prohibition Party. I don't think those two can be in the same building.
They all come in, they walk in and go, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do that.
Chicago once had a mayor from the Know Nothing Party.
Yes.
Back in the 1850s.
Let's bring back the wigs. This is Chicago's very own. Rob, are you hanging out or are you done for the evening, sir?
Gymnastics in the morning. Not for me, for my daughter.
That's not code for anything.
Nope.
That's Rob Martier is taking leave of us. Have a safe drive home.
Take care, guys.
And have a great weekend. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me, writing Sidecar tonight, is Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. You can go to geektome.net for all things geekified, nerdified.
Geektastic.
Geektastic. And a fellow geek in studio, can I call you fellow geek, Adam Selzer?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Who is launching his October round of tours. You can go to MysteriousChicago.com to find out about all the schedules here. And what I was going to ask you, because I want to take Griffin on a tour.
Sure.
Which ones, there's walking tours, obviously. Most of them are walking tours.
Yeah.
So you have the Graceland tour. Tell us a little bit about that one.
The Graceland Cemetery tour. We're going to be wandering around Graceland Cemetery, one of the greatest historic cemeteries in Chicago. Beautiful place. Lots of fantastic tombs. It's something I do that every time I'm there, I see some new plot that I've never really investigated before, often with a huge monument, and I'll take a picture, write the names down, and go home and try to find out the story behind it. And with the really big ones, 90% of the time, they turn out to be brewers.
Brewers,
yeah, people who brewed beer. There was a lot of money in it back, but now and then it'll also turn out like this brewer was involved in the biggest sex scandal of 1862.
As you would, as a big brewer, be
one
involved.
Does.
Well, give us a sex scandal. Do you have one?
1862, Mr. Lil of the Diversey and Lil Brewery Company. Those are two street names that might be familiar to you if you were here in Chicago, Diversey and Lil. Mr. Lil was involved in a very big, he's got a huge plot at Rose Hill Cemetery, actually. 1862, he promised to marry a girl and didn't. It was a breach of promise suit, something you don't really hear about too often these days. Women in general aren't enticed to go to bed with a guy that they barely know because he promised to marry her anymore.
Right.
It doesn't seem like as wise an idea these days or as necessary a requirement. But he promised to marry her. She lived with him for a few months, became pregnant, then they broke up and she sued.
Well, that seems scandalous for 1862.
It does seem scandalous for 1862.
Even just living with a guy and getting pregnant and
not
being married. Wow.
Yeah. So it's hard for me to get a read on what went on. I mean, you're allowed to break up. You can get engaged and you can break up, but not so much back then.
Did she win the case, do you know?
I think she did not win the case.
Oh,
in the
man.
End. They weren't able to prove that he had actually promised to marry her.
Besides the impregnation part.
Yeah.
Okay, then. I mean, not that that's a promise to marry. That's
right.
Just things have happened.
That's just it. It was, different times.
Oh, just a little bit.
Yeah.
So the Graceland tour, the Graceland Cemetery tour, about how long is that walking tour?
It's roughly an hour and a half.
Okay.
Roughly an hour and a half around Graceland Cemetery. There's not very long, particularly long stretches before there's something new to talk about.
And do you, what are the others? You also do what, the other cemetery?
There'll also be a Rose Hill Cemetery as well. And of course, the Tuesday's tour is Grave Robbing 101. That's in Lincoln Park, which is the old city cemetery.
Right. They dug all the bodies up there and moved them to
Not
Rose
all
Hill.
Of them.
Not, I know.
That's... Not all of them. They still find them there all the time.
This one's a really creepy. On the cemetery strolls page, what monument is this one with the shrouded
figure? With the shrouded figure.
Yes.
That is a man. That is Eternal Silence by Laredo Taft, a very famous sculptor around here.
Elliot.
His George Washington statue is practically visible from where we are right now. It says, it's got a quote from George Washington. It says, "The United States government will give to bigotry no sanction, to persecution no assistance." And as you're reading it, Trump Tower is right back behind
him. Oh, weird.
But he was Eternal Silence. We sometimes call it the Statue of Death. There was a sculptor in this 1960s who drew a design for a skyscraper on Michigan Avenue that would look like it. Imagine a 1,000-foot-tall version of it right about a block from where we are right now.
A 1,000-foot version of this shrouded character?
Of the shrouded character, yeah. And I think it's supposed to be Father Time. Commissioned by a guy named Henry Graves.
Everyone go to mysterioushicago.com right now. Click on the tab that says, right now, I'm going to give you a second. Three seconds. 3, 2, 1. Go to the cemetery strolls on Adam's page, mysterioushicago.com, and click on cemetery strolls, and you'll see this shrouded figure. For those of you who don't go to that page, he's got it draped, but he's covering his face like
a vampire style.
Exactly, like a Dracula.
Yeah, we call it the Statue of Death. It's
Yeah, you do.
I think it was supposed to be Father Time initially, actually. Because he also did the Fountain of Time statue on the south side. It's a very similar figure. It was a man named Henry Graves. He built it for his father, who by then had been dead for 75 years.
Oh.
And I had the guy's probate file out a while ago. The will, he actually specifically said, I wish for the monument to be the most substantial and imposing monument that the funds set aside will allow.
Has he succeeded?
Well, I'd say he succeeded. I don't think they probably spent anywhere close to all of the money, though. So he put aside like $200,000 in 1907 money.
For this?
For that, yeah. That's millions of dollars in today's money.
How big is this statue now?
It's about life size. It's a large statue, don't get me wrong.
What is it made of? Is this cast iron?
Bronze, I believe.
Bronze. Oh, that makes sense. So, why is it this sort of limey green color?
That's what happens to the metal over time.
But not the face, because
the face. I guess it's because it's shrouded and the face remained solid metal color.
Oh, that's so super creepy.
According to legend, if you stare into the face, you will see your own death.
Yeah. No, I can imagine that.
It would be to the shame of Chicagoans ever if we didn't have a couple of stories like that with the statue like that.
How can you verify that? Does anyone ever die and then they said...
That's just what he said. It's the trouble that the other legend about it is they say that you can't take a clear photo of it. You can debunk both of these things in like 5 seconds.
Is that your photo? Did you take this photo that's on your page?
I believe I did, yeah.
It's a good photo.
Well, there you go. That's the kind of like... You ghost-busted it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Boom. Well, done.
Anybody who goes there can probably bust that particular one. But it's still a very creepy statue. Oh. Very cool to see. It's right in an area right next to several other historical graves. Dexter Graves and his father were some of the earliest settlers in Chicago. They sailed in with Captain Naper, the namesake of Naperville.
Wow. That's a lot of wealth right there.
He ended up with quite a bit. Well, he owned a property down on the south side, but when Camp Douglas, the Civil War prison camp, was built around it, he refused to move. So he ended up sort of living right in the middle of a Civil War prison camp.
What?
By choice.
Okay, where is the Civil War camp?
It's down about 31st Street.
Okay, so 30, and are there? Do you do any tours around there?
I never really have. There's really nothing left to see of it anymore.
Then there's no reported hauntings or anything like that?
A couple. You know, not as many as most Civil War prison camps, honestly.
Maybe we weren't as... Maybe Chicago soldiers weren't as mean.
It wasn't a pleasant place to be. It was a Civil War prison camp. Everywhere you looked, it would have been guys freezing to death, starving to death, dying of dysentery, cholera.
I can imagine if you're a Confederate soldier, you do not want to be shipped up to Chicago. Why were they sent to Chicago? That was just...
That's just where they had the place.
Yeah, why? But, I mean, it seems like a long way to go from various battlegrounds.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what the closest battleground would have been where we captured Confederate soldiers.
Not too close.
I mean, maybe Kentucky? Maybe?
Probably.
Yeah.
Possibly Missouri.
Oh, yeah. Missouri, Kentucky. Yeah, Missouri makes sense to, I guess, send them to Chicago.
There was almost a battle here. There was a whole conspiracy that they were going to break out all of the prisoners and take over Chicago.
Oh.
It was uncovered by General B.J. Sweet, whose grave we walk across at the Rose Hill Cemetery tour.
Very cool. Yeah, there are quite a few Civil War burial ground. plots.
Quite a number of them, yeah.
And then tell us about Couch. In Lincoln Park.
Ira Couch. That's a whole tomb. You know, Lincoln Park, as I mentioned, is the old city cemetery. There's when they moved it, they never moved the tomb of Ira Couch and his family. Ira Couch was a hotel owner. He ran a place called the Tremont House. Lincoln spoke there. Douglas died there. John Wilkes Booth stayed there for a while as well. Not at the same time, obviously. But the tomb of the Couch family is still there at the south end of Lincoln Park. People drive by it every day and just think it's a comfort station or a tool shed or something. But no, that's the tomb of the Couch family. It's been sealed very well, so nobody really knows how many bodies are in there or if any of them are still in there or what. As of 100 years ago, Ira's grandson said he thought it was about half full
half empty. Do we know why they were allowed to stay at Lincoln Park
and
not
moved? There's differing opinions, most likely just money.
Just the cost of moving a mausoleum?
Yeah, the cost of moving it is probably the biggest factor.
I find mausoleums to be fascinating. There's a little, like, we want to have a little house for afterwards.
Yeah. And some of them, Graceland and Rose Hill, there are some that you can see right into.
Right. Now, one of them, portions
and
of the door.
The couch tomb is not one of them. It's a solid metal slab over the door, but using some really high-tech equipment called the Tomb Snooper 500. Which is an iPhone taped to a wire hanger.
Okay, good. I was going to say,
You can, there's a crack under the door. You can slide in and see kind of what's in there.
You got to be really confident you're not going to lose your phone on a move like that.
You got to tape your phone up real good. You leave it in, you lose your phone in the couch tomb, it's probably gone.
I feel like I should go shopping with Adam, like at a spy store. There's got to be other ways we can get equipment for you to, like a long snake.
Oh, yeah, like one of those, I forget the name. It starts with an E, the kind of camera. Endoscopic?
Yeah, something like that, except not for
They're more used for plumbers normally.
Yeah, exactly. But something
the problem
like that.
Is behind the door is another door.
Elliot, have you ever thought about what your last resting place, or what kind of monument or tribute would you want to you?
Pyramid.
Pyramid.
You gotta say pyramid.
I can't get over that Adam just made a half-empty or half-full mausoleum joke.
depends on your attitude.
Is a mausoleum half empty or half full? No, for me, like when I die, I've told my family, I myself don't believe in burial plots or mausoleums or anything. I feel like that's like they're like golf courses, kind of like a waste of real estate. Like
it's time for you to be done taking up space.
Correct.
At this point.
So I've always said I want to be cremated and I want my ashes scattered over Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That would be it. And then
I'll make sure that happens.
You can do that? Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if you want to remember me somehow, put a plaque up in my favorite comic shop or something like that.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. All right. Adam, have you thought about this?
Medical school first. Let the medical schools have me. Then if it's one of the deals where they send your ashes back later, I'll slide them under the door of the couch tomb.
What about one of those body farms?
That's an interesting idea,
too. Body farms, for people who don't know, and maybe you saw it on an episode, I think CSI has done one of those where there are these, they have to examine the
effects of decomposition. Yeah.
Right, and different ways in which bodies end up outside or in the mud or, in dry areas and in moist areas. And so people donate their bodies for that as well. It's when you say you're donating your body to science, sometimes that's one of the options too.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily the outdoorsy type, I guess. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I think science as well, and then cremation. You know what I want to do for my dad is my father wanted me to spread his ashes at Fullerton because I was a lifeguard at North Avenue, which also stretched down to Fullerton Avenue, and Fullerton was where he learned how to swim, and on one occasion almost drowned because he got pulled out by the waves, and then almost smashed against the rock. So he wanted to be spread there, but I thought what I'd like to do. My mom did not let me take the ashes. She said, "Not until I go, then do it." Whatever you want with both of us. But by the way, she wants to be in the desert. So I'm like, really, can't it just be like a car ride? I got to fly to...
Okay, I'll tell you what. I will take care of your mom.
You'll take care of my mom. Yeah. All right, Mommy, you hear that?
Because I've always wanted to go to Tunisia.
Ooh.
Oh, there you go.
We'll take her to where they filmed the Tatooine scenes.
And have another funeral pyre, just like...
There you go. That was Endor, but yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, go to...
No,
go
they had a funeral pyre in Tatooine, too.
Tatooine? Yeah. Wait, which one?
Yeah, in A New Hope, they're like burning dead Jawas.
Oh, that's right, the Jawas. Yeah. So
I like how we're talking about burials and what we do with our remains, and these guys ended up in the middle of the Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
I honestly don't know what just happened here.
You
know,
they did burn Jawas.
Yeah,
Abuelita is kind of like a Jawa when you think about it. I can see her haggling over droids and stuff.
Yeah. You're absolutely right about that. What I was going to say is what I would do is spread my dad's ashes at Fullerton Harbor, but then I would love to put a bench there for him, like just so someplace I could go sit and think about my dad and just someplace for people to sit and contemplate while they're riding their bikes down the path or whatever. That's my dream, is to have a beautiful bench erected for my dad. For my mom, I don't know what I would do. For me, I don't really have any thoughts. Roger Badish, I don't mean to catch you off guard. Have you ever thought about how you want to be remembered, memorialized, dispersed?
I have, actually, and I'm still undecided.
Oh, okay.
Cost will factor into it greatly,
exactly.
Unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I love golf, and I wouldn't mind having my ashes spread out like Arnold Palmer had his ashes spread on.
And
one
then
of
a
his
rainbow
golf
to
courses.
Follow.
A what?
A rainbow.
Well, if God is cooperating, maybe.
Sure.
I love the Cubs, but I think you have to go through a lot of legal stuff to actually.
You have to go through illegal stuff.
Oh, really?
They're not going to let you scatter your ashes at Wrigley Field. But you know, you get yourself a seat on the bleachers, shake them out of your sleeve.
You really got to hope that the wind doesn't pick up as soon as you start doing
that. Right, exactly.
That's an unfortunate moment.
But yes, I'm really not sure. I think with the passing of my dad in June, and some obviously what Bridget and I have been going through lately, health wise. We're starting to seriously think about this stuff, and I'm not sure where it's going.
And it's the kind of thing that you think about once in a while. Craig, have you considered what you would want to have done with? Oh, he does not like this.
I have no idea what I would do.
As the youngest amongst us, we let you off the hook.
Maybe do a weekend at Bernie's thing for a little while before anything else happens with me.
All right.
But I have no idea.
I can guarantee that.
Yeah. Yes. See. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
I will do that.
Thank you, Elliot.
Do you know about the actor? Was it John Barrymore or is it one of the Barrymores? They got him, Errol Flynn, they got him out of the morgue. A bunch of these actors in Hollywood got him out of the morgue and took him to his last game of poker. They sat him at the table.
Like an Errol Flynn
It was an Errol Flynn story. Yeah. I got to Google that while we're on break. But 312-981-7200, we've gone into a little bit of the grim.
I just gave a ride to a group of medical students who are heading to a liquor store to get liquored up before their first night of dissecting cadavers.
Oh, really?
And they told me about the ceremony they'd had over the cadavers. It was a Catholic medical school. And, they talked about all the things that the priest said, about we're going to be holding their brains in a couple of weeks, the brains that hold the memories of their parents' faces and their first pets. And they found it very moving, they said.
And then they wanted to go
drinking. Get drunk. Yeah.
I could see that. 312-981-7200. Have you thought about how you want to be taken care of once you go? Remembered. Maybe it's too grim. That's why we're having whiskey and a cookie. More after this on 720 WGN. It's pretty late. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I am joined by Elliot Serrano, who is our Chief Geek Officer. Also, new release out this week. Is that this week that your Homies are coming out?
Homies, number one, yes, comes out this week.
Congratulations on
Thank
that.
You.
How
Great.
Can people find copies of it?
Go to your local comic shop. Lots of great shops in Chicago. Challengers Comics on Western. Third Coast Comics, Chicago Comics as well. And do that. Or find me tomorrow at the Blue Box Cafe in Elgin, where I'll be there for their podcast marathon. I might have copies on me.
There's a podcast marathon at the Blue Box?
The Blue Box Cafe tomorrow in Elgin.
What kind of podcasts are going to be on?
All types of geeky podcasts. So I'm going to be one of many guests that are going to be on, and I'm just going to be talking all day about stuff. We'll see. Podcasting marathons can sometimes be interesting because you would think you can get a whole bunch of nerds and geeks in a room together talking about stuff. I just don't want there to be a fight between the Star Trek and Star Wars nerds.
It gets a little dicey.
Okay, so point your phaser at me. I got my lightsaber. I'll deflect it anyway. Oh, but in my universe, those physics don't work. Your lightsaber's just a flashlight. Oh, okay.
I can see it getting out of control very quickly.
Very quickly.
Devolving into chaos. We also have Adam Selzer, who's kicking off his Ghosts of Chicago tours. And you have an entire schedule. October tours are now available. Go to MysteriousChicago.com, beginning in just about 11 hours.
Just about, yeah. What time is it now?
Right now it is almost 1:30.
Yeah, about 9 hours we'll be starting.
So, and the first one is at Graceland
Cemetery tomorrow morning. Yeah,
and do people need to buy the tickets online ahead of time?
They should. They should. If you just show up with cash, I'm not going to turn you away.
Get out of here with your cash.
Yeah, take your filthy lucker elsewhere.
Well, and I know that these probably fill up. About how many people do you take on the tour?
I try to cut it off about 30.
30. That
makes
sense.
After that, it just seems to get a little crowded.
Well, plus you're yelling then.
Right.
And if people start getting chatty. Yeah,
I don't want to be yelling in the cemetery too much.
No, it's already. Well, that brings up a good point. What are the what's the policy of the cemeteries when it comes to doing these tours?
It varies from cemetery to cemetery. With Graceland, I have to submit a thing in writing ahead of time. I have to, check in beforehand. Whereas Rose Hill, just give us a call a couple of days ahead of time so we can make sure there's not a burial going on or something.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah,
yeah.
That'd be weird.
In the area that I'll be taking people, there's very unlikely to be anyway. So
there you go. And can I ask you about pennies in cemeteries? What's the tradition of throwing a penny on a gravesite?
I don't know. It varies from place to place.
Because I was in Philadelphia, and people were throwing pennies on Benjamin Franklin's grave.
He's not on the penny.
I know. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, penny saved is a penny earned. It's one of his quotes.
No. Okay. You know what? No one said that while we were there. That makes sense.
That could be it.
Penny
saving. But then I also see.
But why throw pennies at him? Then you're losing it.
When I was in college, people would leave money on Flannery O'Connor's grave.
Yeah.
In that case, it was for help on the exams.
Before we go to the news, we're going to come back and talk some more about your tours. And by the way, 312-981-7200. Did I go too grim and people don't want to tell me about their plans or their requests after their demise? I guess not. 312-981-7200. But I do have a request. This is not in association with my demise, but also don't throw money at wherever my resting place is. I was at the Linkin Park Zoo on a tour for their Roald Dahl event for medically fragile children. Mm. And one of the things that because I was with someone who worked at the zoo, I asked about people who throw money in the water features, and because a lot of those water features are actually part of what the
habitats,
animals
yeah.
exactly. And she said, "Yeah, it's a real problem. So please, please, please stop throwing money into water features. Whether it's at the Linkin Park Zoo, the Brookfield Zoo, even like Great America, they have to clean that up. I mean, you're just contaminating water with your money. It's not."
There are some, and I know it's not at Linkin Park Zoo, but there are some where places. It's you can, and then it's a fundraiser for them.
And
if you
see a plaque that says, throw a penny, make a wish, and we will donate this to, Ronald McDonald House or whatever it is. So you look for the plaque. And here, by the way, Bill has something before we go to the news. Let's check in with Bill. Hey, Bill, what do you want to tell us?
Just real quick. I just looked this up the other day. It's funny you mentioned it. But with military monuments, what denomination you leave on a grave marker tells you what the person was. Like, if you served the person, I forget what it was, but like, let's just say you leave a penny, that meant you served in that unit. If you left a nickel, that means you served in, let's say the guy died in the U.S. Army, you served the Army. You leave a dime, it means that you served in the military but not with them. There's a website that tells you exactly what denomination, when you leave it, what it means.
Oh yeah, there's a couple places. If you Google what does money on a military website on a military monument mean? Yeah, so we're gonna take a look at that when we come back, because we're still talking about cemeteries. That's a great point. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Have a great night. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I am joined by Elliot Serrano, our Chief Geek Officer, who is writing Sidecar tonight, as well as Adam Selzer, who launches some wonderful tours this month. You go to MysteriousChicago.com for information about the schedule. And what I love about cemeteries and finding out how people honor those who have passed is it really shows what... One, it does show a tremendous amount of the span of history, what it means to honor somebody, whether it was 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 50 years ago. And I'm just fascinated by those kinds of things. And Lori wanted to join our conversation. Hi, Lori. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. What do you want to tell us?
My brother, when he passed away, he was adamant. He wanted to be cremated and have his ashes scattered over this lake in northern Wisconsin. Okay, but my dad said, no way, when he passed away. So what we did, my husband and I were in charge of going down there and cleaning out his apartment and stuff. We had the funeral director split the ashes in half.
Okay.
And we actually mailed the ashes up to my cousin in northern Wisconsin in an angel tin. And then we put the rest of the ashes with my dad so he could bury them where he thought they needed to be.
And did you ever tell him that you'd done that, or you just kind of kept that from your dad?
No. He actually passed away a few months later. And my mom was like, wow, it was so much heavier than your brother. He must have been really thin.
And you never told your mother either?
No, but that's what my brother wanted.
Right.
And then what was beautiful about it was that my cousin called us when he was out in the boat putting my brother's ashes into the lake, and he called us and we said prayers over the phone.
Oh.
Which was kind of cool.
That's sweet.
But that's what he wanted.
Right.
My dad was like, no way.
Well, that is kind of that struggle. And it sounds like you were able to honor both your brother and your parents' wishes.
Exactly.
That's such a good solution. Oh, Lori, you know what? Can you hold on the line? We want to send you a pizza for sharing a very personal and lovely story.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's send you a Lumel Nottie's gift card. Craig will take your information. Of course. It'd be our pleasure. Chicago's best pizza. You can go to lumelnotties.com for information about ordering. You can have it shipped anywhere in the country. You can have it delivered to your home if you live near one of the locations, one of the over 40 locations all over Chicago. Yeah, I'm nervous about when I do decide to. My intention with my dad was to use some sort of a weighted vessel to not like spread his ashes, but to like, is it weird to say sink him in Lake Michigan?
Because I just came up with an addendum for mine.
Oh, okay. Addendum. I was already just throw you overboard on a.
Right. You can do that.
I was in a row out.
No. I want to be launched out of a t-shirt cannon. Just, you know.
But where?
But
at
go to
what
Lake
stadium?
Michigan.
Over Lake Michigan.
Over Lake Michigan. Just take one of those nice little cruises, one of those nice little like dinner cruises that they do on Lake Michigan. Go out to the front of the boat. Take the t-shirt cannon that's going to have my ashes in it and just fire that baby out over to the horizon.
Okay.
And then boom, and then enjoy the rest of your evening.
Well, we will have some whiskey.
Yeah, some whiskey.
Hear the faint sound in the distance going, yo.
Do you want any fireworks with that?
Oh.
If you can imagine that. I mean, if you can incorporate my ashes into the fireworks.
No, here's what we do.
Ooh.
No, what we do is we coordinate on the nights where Navy Pier is doing their fireworks anyway.
Yeah.
See, so I just do it to one of the, you know, I'll have the music going. I can work this out with Jen Kramer. This is you know, if I go after you, for all we know.
Everyone knows women always survive men.
Yes, we do.
I mean, you know, we're not married,
mm-hmm.
but considering, you know, like you were best friends, your chances are I'm going to die before you do.
Oh, boy. It's a lot of pressure for me. Yeah.
Well, Happy New Year. Wow.
Here, Frank has something to tell us as well. Hi, Frank. How are you doing?
Good. There's a website called findthegrave.com.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you look at it, it's really a cool website.
I've been
It'll
to it.
You about all the cemetery. Oh, you have.
You tell everybody. I love this. Go ahead.
Okay, it has memorials for people who have passed,
mm-hmm.
but it has the gravesite photos. But, you can go to any cemetery in Chicago. There's thousands of photographs of the gravestones and the markers that are located for the people that they have listed there.
It is a remarkable thing, and there are actually online graves for people too. My brother, oddly enough, has an online grave that is wonderful. His classmates from when he was very young have posted pictures, like class photos of him, and that I had never seen before. So there's some really lovely tributes online. But yes, this is a great website. I haven't become. Are you a member of the website?
Yes, I am, and I take photo. I do volunteer photos for the website.
Oh.
The irony of this is, I've done like 15,000 photos because I do my walking exercise when I in the cemeteries where I take the pictures. But I notice like you can get a gravestone. It's like a flat marker, you know, a small flat marker of some person, and you have some mausoleum for some other person. And the part about it that's funny is that, like, the small marker might be some guy who was in World War II, jumped on a grenade. I mean, like a hero who did fantastic stuff. He has a little marker, and then you get some, sometimes it's a gangster or a mobster, and he has a big mausoleum. I'm like, you know, sometimes it doesn't make sense. You know?
I know. There's no rhyme or reason to it. My grandmother, Dorothy, has, like, one of those, like, flat ones. Like,
right.
You just have rows after rows of the flat ones. And yeah, I agree. There doesn't seem to be any. I found out from my aunt that they're intending to have her buried. My aunt's gonna be buried on top of my grandmother, which is weird too. They're gonna stack her, I guess.
Well, what I really like is the. I like when they put the little photo. It's like a ivory photo of a person
mm-hmm.
on the grave
yes.
itself, because it's really weird because you can go past 100 of them not think of anything, and then you see the photo of somebody, you go, wow, that's an actual person, you know.
It sounds like you and I share a fascination of cemeteries. Did you always find cemeteries kind of comforting when you were a kid?
Well, here's the deal. I'm a homicide detective for Chicago, okay? So I'm like during the day and night, I'm active. When I want to do my walks, when you walk in the cemetery, it's nice and quiet. There's no traffic. You're not breathing all the fumes from the buses and everything else. And, you know, it's just a nice, quiet place to go.
Wow. There's something really poetic about the fact that you're a homicide detective and you find a quiet place in the cemeteries. That's amazing. Yes, Elliot?
Yeah.
Have you ever gone to the cemetery late at night and found someone.
You know, actually, I've done work for the Archdiocese of Chicago because they had some thefts from some of the cemeteries who were taking the brass and stuff from the mausoleums. So I stayed there overnight in these in the cemeteries. And I could tell you one time, it was really weird because it was like a really foggy night where the fog is hanging over the ground.
Right.
I'm walking through the cemetery. I'm like, you know, nothing happened out of the ordinary. But just walking through a heavy fog in the cemetery late at night, you're like, you know, this is like a made-for-TV movie. You know?
Sure. Right. It's got that feel
to it. Roger Corman all over it.
Well,
oh, yes.
Frank, thank you so much for sharing your story. Can you hold on the line? We're going to send you a gift card from Apt Electronics. Maybe there's something you can find out there at the wonderful store in Glenview. Tell our friend Steve Shapiro that we sent you and, you know, pick out a gadget or something that might enhance the work that you do.
And, Frank, while you're giving your information, is it okay if I get in touch with you to talk further about this sort of stuff?
Sure.
Oh, thanks.
Very cool. Look at that. Friends making friends. That's how this show works. Hang on the line and Craig will get your information. Thanks. Yeah, how wild is that?
Can someone call in and give me a line on the t-shirt cannon?
Oh, yeah. 312-981-7200. I want to get his information, too. I think that I wonder if he's allowed to come in studio and share more stories with us. I don't know. Because there's a couple of police officers that I'd like to have on the show. But sometimes there's a, you know.
You offer them whiskey and a cookie, they'll be happy.
Whiskey and a cookie, our favorite new segment. See, and I didn't think anyone would call and talk about the cemeteries. All right, Adam Selzer has his tours, and they're all available. The schedules are available on mysterioushicago.com, and you can see the bus tours. There are walking tours. How are the bus tours different than the walking tours?
Oh, they go to different locations.
Obviously,
a couple of different locations they go to.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you don't have to walk quite so much.
Sure,
so
yeah, I'd imagine.
Well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple of places that we can't really walk to that I like to take people to on tours.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the Couch Tomb.
Okay. Oh, and Lincoln Park.
Lincoln Park in general, yeah. But, you know, in 1897, the Chicago Tribune said that there have been murders and suicides enough in Lincoln Park to furnish a ghost for every shadowy nook.
Oh.
And the cops there certainly thought that it was haunted, too.
What a great way to put it. Enough ghosts for every shadowy nook.
Yeah, they don't write like that anymore.
They
don't.
I mean, some people do.
Or endorse like that anymore.
And tell us a little bit about your book that you have out as well, the newest book.
Oh, the newest is called Just Kill Me. It's all about a ghost tour guide who makes places more haunted by killing people at them.
And people can find
that. It's only partially autobiographical.
Hopefully it's the ghost tour part.
Yeah, if you just look up book Just Kill Me, it'll come up. But most of the major bookstores around town have it.
Oh, very cool. So that's Just Kill Me.
Just Kill Me.
Available in hardback right now?
Hardback, yeah.
And I have one on my shelf as well because I believe Craig and I are both referenced in this book.
Yeah, you both appear in the book.
We appear in the book. We do not get killed in the book. You next time, Elliot.
I've been waiting for someone to kill me in a book or kill me in general.
Weird.
Actually,
don't give me ideas, man.
I have been killed in a comic book.
Oh,
okay.
Killed in a comic book. I actually wrote my own death in a comic book once. But
that's an artful
thing. One of the characters
to.
In Just Kill Me who dies right until the minute before I turn in the draft. His name was Adam Seltzer.
Oh, there
you go. Find and replace at the end.
What was your death that you wrote?
Oh, I'm strangled to death by my co-writer.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Although Adam,
what device did they use to strangle?
Bare hands.
Oh,
kill me with their bare hands.
Oh, that's a lot of work. You gotta be strong.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He was possessed at the time. So, although I say Adam, though, he kind of trumps me because he's in a Star Wars story.
Oh yeah, there's a character named after me.
Oh, that is that is exciting.
I know. I was like, dang.
In Lost Stars by Claudia Gray, probably my favorite of all the Star Wars books ever. In fact,
well, of course, because
well, even before I got to the part where I noticed my name, it had been worked into it.
Is it someone you know?
Yeah, Claudia is a friend of ours. My wife Ronnie and I hang out with her quite a bit. So there's a character named Captain Ron Adam. Or Captain Ron Adam, I believe it's pronounced. He serves aboard Darth Vader's Star Destroyer and, you know, therefore perishes in the Battle of Endor. But
I've got a copy of Bloodlines. I need you to get to her and have her sign for me.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez, I'm feeling inadequate. They're both named in books, and I'm only named in a lawsuit.
Oh, I've got one of those, too. But no, I don't.
I don't think I'm in a lawsuit either. I mean, not as the plaintiff. No, not as a defendant. Wait a minute. No. You know what? Let me check the records. More after this on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. Give us a call and tell us something good. I think you got to have something good to tell us because it's the weekend. What's going on that's making you happy? After this on 720 WGN.
Tell me something good.
Yeah, tell me something good, will you? It's a Friday night. Something good has to be going on out there. And we are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio. 312-981-7200. Tell us something good that's making you happy tonight. I'm happy because Insomnia Cookies sent us two boxes, not one, but two amazing boxes of cookies, and we're incredibly grateful. They were delicious. I had the mint chocolate chip. My favorite ice cream is mint chocolate chip, so giving me a cookie that is mint and chocolate, it's all delicious. Elliot, which cookies did you enjoy over there?
Well, the macadamia nut was good, but I had the peanut butter, which was... I'm a big fan of peanut butter, so you know, yeah. I got to say that one was you really tasted the peanut butter.
Nice,
yeah.
And they have Chicagoland locations all over the place, and they will, you know, they'll get on their bikes and deliver you cookies and ice cream. Adam, which cookies did you enjoy?
I like the oatmeal raisin a lot.
See, and
I'm an oatmeal raisin kind of guy.
Are you? Because yeah. Elliot said that he thought it was going to be chocolate chip, but he was pleased
because the raisin was deceptive. It almost looked like a very glossy chocolate chip. But then
a glossy chocolate chip, Elliot. When have you ever encountered a glossy chocolate chip?
All I'm saying is I don't understand raisins, period. I don't understand why they're in cookies. I would eat more oatmeal cookies if they had no raisins.
Fair enough.
Roger, I'll be bringing up some cookies for you since I know you did not have a chance to come down.
Oh, you are so sweet to me.
We will stop by upstairs. Of course, there are. So, do you like peanut butter? Because there are some peanut butter.
I love all cookies.
All right, then. You will.
Yeah.
We will make sure we bring some cookies up to you. So thank you, Insomnia Cookies. And everyone can go to insomniacookies.com. And by the way, right now they have $1 off their cookie witches. So there you go. Delicious. And you can track your cookies once you order your cookies. This is something I am a total dork for, Elliot, is when I order something and you can track like its progress.
There's a cookie tracker?
There's a cookie tracker right here. So... There's a cookie tracker. It's kind of like the NORAD when they have Santa Claus going across the world, going around the world.
Where your cookies
can
be.
Cookie tracker.
Is there a tracker in this box or something?
I don't know.
You know, like the
driver's phone.
Like when the Millennium Falcon was being tracked back to all, you know, back to
or when they had like the Find My iPhone thing, so they could find when the Falcon flew up. That's how they found it.
In the Minions, not the Minions movie, but the Despicable Me, when he made the robotic cookies because they were selling Girl Scout cookies.
I haven't seen this movie. I haven't.
Haven't seen Despicable Me?
I don't know. I didn't see
that's actually a pretty good movie.
I haven't seen it. I don't know.
Yeah. It's funny. Kids will love it.
By the way, for Insomnia Cookies, they are all over the Chicagoland area and a lot of Illinois, Carbondale, Champaign, because, you know, in the middle of the night, you can hear us all the way to the Appalachian Mountains and all the way to the Rockies. We're all over the place.
Yeah.
So these are all, except for Arkansas, oddly enough, throughout the Midwest. They don't, in the South, there aren't any in Arkansas, nor is there one in Nebraska or South Dakota. But North Dakota, you're in luck. You can get you some Insomnia cookies. I'm just saying.
That's why North Dakota is a superior Dakota.
Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania. Go get your Insomnia cookies. Oh, here. Mick has something that he wants to. Hey, Mick, how are you doing?
I was any better, I would be triplets.
That is good to know. That's pretty good.
So actually, I am. It's just me, myself, and I together all day today.
Uh-huh. Excellent.
Just the three of us.
Oh, all right, then. I'm glad that you're enjoying all three of you.
You can make it if you try.
What did you want to share with us for what? Tell me something good.
Well, I think you guys were talking about National Cookie Week.
We weren't, but is it National Cookie Week?
Right, and there's a place in Chicago called the Spice House.
Oh, on Wells.
They've got like four or five locations. There's one up on Central in Evanston.
Oh.
They've got the one on Wells. They've got one in Milwaukee.
Very cool. What's it called again? The Spice what?
It's called the Spice House.
The Spice House. Excellent. By the way, I think the National Cookie Week is the first week of May, according to this website.
Oh, okay. Well, they're running it. They are running. I got an email that said they're running a special.
Uh-huh.
From, today the 30th through Sunday the 2nd, they're offering free shipping on any order.
Oh, fantastic. Well, there you go. If you want to get your Spice House fixins, go to the Spice House and get that done.
When you place your order, you type in the promo code Cookie 16,
and you get a discount. Look at you. I love that Mick's got the discount he's sharing. I think we should have a whole segment of promo codes, Mick. I think you've started something really, a really wonderful idea. Share your promo codes. Mick, you have just kicked off a new segment. We're not going to be able to finish it tonight, but Mick just shared his promo code, which is Cookie16.
That's for that one, yes.
For Spice House. All right, have a good night. Mick, we're going to check in with Matt Bubala right now. Be well. We will talk to you again soon. Hey, Matt Bubala, how are you doing? I'm very well. Let me find your microphone. There it is.
There I am.
Hey, do you know what you would do with your remains? How do you want to be remembered after you're gone?
I do want to be cremated.
Okay.
Do want to take up space. Mm-hmm. I don't know, spread around different places that meant stuff to me in life, I guess.
I like that. Have you seen the ones where you can be sort of like put, like planted with a tree, like in the, like the tree bag?
You know, I work with Steve Dale, and there's a woman, maybe it's related, it's called BioUrn, and they do that for pets.
Yes,
that they plant it, and then a tree sprouts up. I think it's pretty cool.
I like that, too.
Yeah.
It's sort of, you're giving nutrition to the tree.
Do you want to become a tree?
I do want to become a tree.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Would you like
I don't
that?
Want to be a teapot. I want to be a tree.
Are you going to get cremated?
Yes. Well,
have you planned this out at all?
I have not planned it out, but I think my husband knows I don't want like a grave site.
So you're assuming you're going before him?
Yeah.
Really?
I live a little more recklessly than he does. I mean, let's be honest, Elliot. Wouldn't you say? I mean,
I'm sure that's
always
true.
Always goes first.
Yeah. Generally. But look
you guys
at the,
drive us to the grave.
Our demeanor, Elliot, my demeanor compared to Steve's demeanor, the kind of anxiety that I exhibit compared to when you've seen me with Steve.
Yeah.
He's even keeled.
Yeah, and you will probably kill
those are the people that tend to live the longest.
You know.
All right, then fine.
It's like the whole, a guy can, you know, a woman will always survive the husband.
Yeah, sap it out of us.
Yeah, she might jump out a window and hit the sidewalk, but her husband is who she lands on, and
yeah,
he dies.
Yeah.
While she survives.
Wow, so we really turn him pet here. Then you're not fighting back on anything.
I just checked right out. I didn't.
We're just feeding you all these softballs, and you're just sitting there letting them go by.
No, I wanted to find out what's coming up on your show. I was focusing on on turning the attention to you right now.
All right.
Yes. We'll check out my selfie.
Professor Jeff McCall from DePaul University will be with us to chat about the debate as we finish up the week's worth of analysis of the debate. But
I think yours will be the best because you've had time.
Oh, wow.
You've taken the long view.